Hello, everyone. Thank you for tuning in to the New Mainstream podcast, where we explore the impact of multicultural consumers on marketing and media. I'm your host, Mario Carrasco, and co-founder of Think Now. Today, we have our guest, Maria Tuena, Global Head of Consumer X at Ninth Wonder. Maria, you were recently on the show, but please introduce yourself again for those who might have missed the first time and let us know what you're doing at Ninth Wonder.
Yeah, thank you, Mario. Happy to be back. My name is Maria Tuena. I have been in this wonderful world of advertising and marketing for over 30 years. Studied psychology in undergrad and then got a graduate degree in communications. So I was meant to do a deep dive into the Hispanic market and the psychology of that market, and then meant to communicate what I knew about the market. Hence, we are here. So it makes a lot of sense. I've been in the advertising agency world for many decades and have been on the media side and in corporate running marketing. And I, as much as I spent 20 years in the general market world, the last 12 to 15, really, I've been exclusively focused on the Hispanic market and the bilingual, bicultural Latino. So I'm happy to be here.
That's great. And last time you were on, we spoke about this concept. You had written a paper on, I think it was Work, on bidimensional toggle. I'm excited to announce that we conducted some research together, some really fascinating data points. But for those that didn't listen, can you explain about this idea of the bidimensional toggle before we start delving into the data points here that we found?
Sure. And we refer to it as the bidirectional toggle. I think you can use either term.
Yes.
You could use either
bidirectional,
term.
Bidirectional, yeah.
Okay. But it's basically the reality of that bilingual, bicultural consumer is that he or she lives in two worlds and constantly goes back and forth. Language is the obvious realm that individual goes back and forth in. And it's a little more challenging to understand how culturally they toggle back and forth between the culture they learned in their Hispanic households, which is really that of collectivism and community and family over self, and the cultures they learn in their schools, which is much more informed by the Protestant work ethic and about valuing independence and much independence, much more than interdependence and self-reliance above all. So it's really about the bidirectional toggle is the manifestation of that behavior, which we see in the real world, but we see it online as well. And I started studying this a couple of years ago. I had a client who wanted to know why they had failed so miserably in delivering Hispanic market revenue online when they had translated all of their messaging. And the more research that we did, and even improving the messaging to actually having it be transcreated for that consumer, we decided to tag pages. And what we realized was that the Hispanic consumer was engaging online. The e-commerce transaction was occurring in the English language page shopping cart, not the Spanish language page shopping cart. And it was because it was being driven by the children in the household, or the one that was completely bilingual and bicultural. And things have evolved over the years, but that phenomenon has expanded to include multiple things, which informed the genesis for this white paper, which is, you know, we make the assumption, brands make the assumption that there is one, when we talk about direct-to-consumer marketing, that there is one individual on the other side of the ether. And when we know when it has to do with Hispanics, it's the collective consumers on the other side of the ether. It's not one to one, it's one to X or one to the collective. And we saw bore out in the research findings that this impacts everything from search to content consumption to content sharing and to e-commerce transactions.
Yeah, I mean, and I loved how we talked about it, and you had some hypotheses going into the research. Obviously, you've been working with clients, thinking through this concept. What were some of the hypotheses you had, and how did that play out in the research that we did?
Yeah. So I've always, my hypothesis when it came to the bilingual bicultural was always that that individual was playing the role of digital Sherpa for other members of the families that were less linguistically proficient in the English language and less savvy online. That bore out to be true, which we'll talk about, I'm sure, a little later in the research findings. The other thesis we had was that a lot of sharing happens verbally when the digital Sherpa, if you will, secures the content for a Spanish language dominant consumer online. Then how, if there's no Spanish language content available, how is that then communicated to the consumer who's interested in making the purchase? And it was fascinating because overwhelmingly verbal translation happened, but there were distinct activities across a acculturation level. So while the majority would translate verbally, many also use Google translation apps or other apps to drive the translation. So I thought that was fascinating. And we found a lot of unique activities in the marketplace that we really weren't familiar with, including the fact that a lot of the digital Sherpas in this country are not only helping Hispanics in their households, but Hispanics in other countries as well. So there's a lot of good nuggets of information here that all brands should be aware of.
And I love this concept of the digital Sherpa that you talked about. Can you explain, kind of flesh out a picture of what the digital Sherpa is or looks like in their function within the household and the purchase process?
Yeah. So the digital Sherpa really comes out of this concept of the bilingual bicultural Sherpa. I was involved in research many years ago where we uncovered a couple of things, and the big finding back then was that the bilingual bicultural, especially in the research we did, the 1.5 generation and the 2.0 generation, and the 1.5 is the immigrant who comes at the age of 10 or less, so their primary socialization takes place here. The 2.0 generation immigrant is born here with at least one foreign-born parent. So what we found back then was that the 1.5 and the 2.0 play the role of Sherpa across the board. Now, this was pre-internet total explosion, right? But what we found was that they demystify products and services, translate the language for the parents, interpret this U.S. ethos of self-reliance, if you will, for the family, inform brand and product purchases from a very early age. So that was a fascinating finding. And again, it was pre-explosion of the internet. And today we have a completely different online landscape where there is a digital Sherpa who plays the role of informing and demystifying and sharing and purchasing all the things we knew about the 1.5 and the 2.0. But the digital Sherpa is different. The composition of that Sherpa is not just bilingual, bicultural. So this brings to bear that in all key aspects of the online ecosystem and the online experience of that Hispanic collective, there's one individual that whether they live in the household, away from the household, they are still informing, helping, and Sherpaing their relatives through the online e-commerce transaction from search to actual execution.
Yeah, I love that. And I love that we looked into that. I think this is a good transition. You know, what are some of those top nuggets from the research that stood out to you?
Yeah, so a couple of things. Search was fascinating to me. 81% of those that we queried were assisting relatives, helping them in buying something through the search process. And what was really fascinating was that 57% said that these were requests from relatives in the household. 51% said these were requests from relatives outside of the household. And 24% reported that these were from relatives outside of the U.S. So search requests are coming from in the household, outside of the household, and outside of the U.S. And I thought that was really interesting, ex-U.S. Constituent that's relying on digital Sherpas in the U.S. to help them search. That's one of them.
Yeah, and it's I think it's important to point out too that we did this pre-pandemic, right? I mean, my assumption is that these numbers are probably shooting up, right? If we were to do this same exact study today, do you think that these numbers would be higher?
Absolutely. Yeah. Because we all know that a lot since post-pandemic and as we're living it now, most people are online at home and they're using online, not just for work, but for entertainment and for everything, really. So they're living a much more digital life. So the impact of these findings is much more relevant and much more prescient at the moment.
Yeah. And I would imagine, you know, the network, the digital Sherpa is likely being pulled to more households than usual as well, right?
Like, yeah,
there's probably, you know, family, extended family, who is, especially if we talk about older Latinos and older Asian Americans that, you know, English may be a second language, that need more help kind of getting basics at the house.
Right, right. I mean, I know for sure that when it comes to elder multicultural consumers that are either not on digitally savvy or that master the English language, help happens across the board all the time. I mean, I can give you a personal example of I assist my mother in her purchases. She lives in the Deep South. I'm out here in California and I'm buying for her all the time. And I'm not alone. I know I share that activity with all of my fellow Hispanic immigrants or children or other immigrant groups, right? I mean, that's just a behavior that we undertake and it's part of our collective personalities as well.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, my wife is Sri Lankan. She has family in Sri Lanka, and they're actually on lockdown. Can't, you know, same as us. Mm-hmm. But they do. They have a Sri Lankan version of Amazon there, where actually Americans can order for Sri Lankan relatives. And you know, she's been doing that for her family, which is and been doing that more now. So I think it's experienced cross culturally as well. And back to that data point, right, about digital Sherpas not only purchasing within the U.S., but for families outside of the country.
Right, right. It's very interesting. Very, very interesting. And then when they actually search, then the next phase is how do they share the content, right? And I thought that was another interesting data point from the research. 78% of those in the study, which by the way, we had a database of 500 respondents in this survey. 78% said they actually verbally translate the content that they find, right? 27% said that they use Google Translate or another translation app. And 27% said that they just send the information to someone else to translate. So I think, again, this collective is at play, right? I mean, different, and technology is here. We see that introduction of Google apps or any translation app involved in the process. And what I thought was even more interesting was that of the Spanish dominant, were most likely to translate, and the bilingual English dominant consumer cohort was most likely to use the application, which makes a lot of sense because a lot of them may not be completely bilingual, bicultural, or biliterate, right? So they're using an app to help them along the way. I thought that was an interesting finding as well.
Yeah, I thought that was super. I mean, what does that say about the digital Sherpa, right? They're still facilitating this purchase, searching on and at times purchasing on behalf of the family member, but not necessarily translating themselves. Was that a data point that you expected, or was that new for you?
That was new for me. I assumed there was a lot more ability to translate. Now we didn't test specifically. Was this medical terminology, or was this tech? You know, what words were involved here? Right? Were they very difficult or non-colloquial words? But that would be the next wave of this. I would love to do something like that because we don't know really. but I'm not super surprised. I know I myself have jumped on a translation app to translate stuff for my family when the word just doesn't come to mind. I'm not super surprised, but I'm very interested in pursuing that a little further.
Yeah. And also, I mean, I just thought of this as well, because we talk about verbally translating, but also much of this back and forth could be happening through text message.
True.
Right? Or email or WhatsApp. And so verbally, for me, right, speaking Spanish is much easier than writing it.
Right.
And so if I was forced to write it, I mean, I'm probably going to be relying heavily on a translation app.
Yeah, that's a really good point, because a lot of us that are bilingual, bicultural, or do not claim biliteracy, we're not 100% biliterate. I mean, I can read Spanish much better than I can write it because I have issues with the accent marks. I never really memorized those laws. So it's interesting.
Same. So what's another data point that stood out to you, Maria?
Oh, this one is one of my favorites in terms of actually making the purchase. So 50% said that they made the purchase. 18% said they assist in the purchase. And 18% said that they make the purchase, but on the relative's website or language, or the website language that the relative used. So in this case, we'd assume when we pull out the Hispanic data that it's on a Spanish language website, right? But what was very interesting to me was of the 19% that said they assist in making the purchase, we saw statistical significance when it came to the bilingual English dominant being the one who does the assisting much more so than the Spanish language dominant, which to me really brings in this biculturalism into play. So if you think about a Spanish dominant, again, they tend to be much more collective. So they're much more likely to just make the purchase on behalf of their family member. But when we look at the bilingual English dominant, much more bicultural, we see that introduction of self and independence in that consumer. So there are hybrids of their collective, yes, but they're also independent and self-reliant, and that's reflected and expressed in different areas of their lives. And I think this is what we're seeing here, that they are willing to assist because that's their collective spirit and nature. But when it comes to actually making the purchase, mom, dad, or whoever that other consumer is, you can do it. I've done my part. I find that fascinating.
That was personally my favorite data point, because like you said, it's just a perfect encapsulation of being bicultural, right? Manifesting itself in that data point. And we had a conversation about it, and I'd like for you to talk a little bit on how, what's the implication for marketers and brands from that perspective, where you're seeing facilitation happening on one end, but then the purchase being made. How can brands make that experience easier and more seamless?
Oh, yeah.
For these consumers.
Yeah, I think that's a really great question, because it brings up the role of brand in the whole process, right? Not just on the end game, but in those continuous online engagements with all consumers. And one, brands never want brand dissonance, right? They don't want the brand experience with the consumer to break at any point, or to be negative at any point, or be dissonant at any point. They want consumers to have ongoing positive relationships at each consumer touch point, because that's how you drive fandom and loyalty and advocacy. And so one of the things that we highly recommend is that before we even get to the website, let's talk about the search strategy, right? I mean, what is a brand search strategy? We now know that over half of these folks are conducting their online searches in English, 52%, but the balance are conducting it in Spanish and English. So brands need a bilingual search strategy as part of their overall marketing efforts. And that means many things, including they need to consider Spanish keywords on English browsers, Spanish keywords on Spanish browsers, English keywords on Spanish browsers and non-brand terms, et cetera, and bilingual terms, right? Because we know a lot of bilingual, bicultural consumers search in bilingual terms. So that's one of them. And then when you get to the actual website, again, I mean, it's imperative that brands understand that consumers from different cultures are engaging with their brand online. And in the case of the Hispanic market, it's 20% of the U.S. population. Having a Spanish language website today makes more sense than ever because they can connect with these consumers both linguistically and culturally. They should have translated content and imagery that resonates with this cohort on their websites. And they should make it very simple to have that information shared with others. I think that's a real, one of the most important aspects of this whole thing. They search and they consume. Yeah.
And I was actually thinking about that today, how it's always been important given the importance of Spanish language, especially among older cohorts. And then when we're talking about digital Sherpa, but even now, right, in this period that we're living in pandemic, where older family members are going to more likely to be isolated.
Yes.
I think having that Spanish language website is going to be even more important, right? Because I was reading, for example, the CDC took like 2 weeks to make that available and, you know, some of the COVID-19 resources available in Spanish, which is just crazy. And I think if, you know, brands are serious about this, you know, now is a good time to look at that Spanish strategy.
I agree. Now more than ever. Because if the Spanish site was, even if the older parent or whoever you're searching for wasn't super savvy digitally, if they had Spanish language content, you could be on the phone and walk them through what they need to do, including click on this. This is the button where the shopping cart is. Now click on this, right? So you facilitate a whole bunch. Yeah. And that's the goal. I mean, brands need to wake up and realize that not having Spanish language content, basically 20% of that Hispanic consumer that isn't seeing that you're even acknowledging that this market exists online is a negative experience, right? And if you have a Spanish language site, you should be really proud of it and you should promote it and you should have that toggle between Spanish and English at the very top of your site so that consumer knows right off the bat that Spanish is available to them instead of hiding it at the bottom below the fold where it's almost hard to find, right?
And here's something, maybe a controversial take. I mean, I'm not advocating necessarily to use Google Translate for marketing, but given the data that we saw that we have digital Sherpas using Google Translate or some other translation app, at a minimum, would you recommend marketers just put a Google Translate on their website? Because that's something that doesn't take someone trans creating. Yes. I mean, is that a good first step?
Yes, absolutely. That's one of the recommendations. Always have a translation tool handy and clearly available, not just on the homepage, on every page. So there's translation immediacy. We know Hispanics like to purchase many products spontaneously and impulsively, right? So you don't want to lose that consumer when in the middle of that process. So absolutely, having a tool handy, having a toll-free number in Spanish or live chat available, all of these tools, you know, on the technology side just help. And if there's a toll-free number in Spanish, make sure there's a Spanish language or bilingual operator who's going to answer it, right? And that they can engage the consumer along the way. Everything the brand does that removes the onus from the digital Sherpa, if you will, is exponentially positive for both the consumer who wants the product and for the digital Sherpa who now doesn't have to do the work of educating, translating, informing, demystifying all the stuff that they normally do for that consumer who wants the product. So we need to think of it like that. Remove the brands need to focus on, especially when it comes to multicultural America, remove the onus from those who are taking their valuable time to do this, because it will just create a positive brand experience across all acculturation levels, right?
Definitely. And I think that's a great note to end on. Believe it or not, we're already past our 20 minute mark.
Oh, goodness.
are there any kind of last data nuggets that you want to share before we sign off?
I think just a reminder that the Hispanic market continues to grow. A lot of us focus on the fact, 67% are US born, et cetera. That doesn't negate the Spanish dominant consumer at all. In fact, they are still out there. They may not be growing as exponentially as they were a couple of decades ago, but they're still out there and they still need support from brands. So I think if anything, this just reinforces the fact that all acculturation levels in multicultural markets have to be supported in a brand experience, both online and offline.
Well, thanks again for joining us, Maria. And for those interested in the study, the bidirectional toggle study that we've been discussing, Maria, can you share the Ninth Wonder website so people can go there and download it?
Sure. If they go to www.thenumber9thwonder.com, they will find it there. And look forward to doing more of these. And we need to make this a telenovela series.
We gotta get the Zoom going. That's exactly. That's like the hot thing now, right?
Exactly. Right. It was great.
Thanks again, Maria.
Oh, thanks, Mario. This was wonderful. Thank you.
Thanks again, everyone, for listening. To download the full 2020 guide to Hispanic digital purchase behavior, how the collective and the bidirectional toggle inform e-commerce report, please visit the URL www.ninthwonder.com/guide. That's the number 9thwonder.com/guide. Final thank you to our producer, Lucas Martinez, who created our intro music and makes our podcast sound great. To email him, reach out to martinez.lucas.a@gmail.com. Thanks again for listening.